And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
La-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 127 for July 27th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like All Wine Aside, Anything Goes, and the Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. Mr. Old School is introducing... Yeah, kind of fucked up there. Heavy set, episode 102 in a row.
Having a oddest feeling of deja vu again.
You know, I knew the fucker was going to mention it too. I have no idea what you're talking about. Kebo Trek.
Howdy.
We've got D. Ren.
Buongiorno.
Okay, we've got Andre.
Yo.
And we've got Le Carnage.
What's up, guys?
Let's get into the news for this. After the editing, it's going to make sense. Get into the news. Shut up.
There's a glitch in the Matrix or something.
Yeah, there's a glitch in your face. Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Big news this week. Gonna start off with a trailer that came out for the new James Bond film. And we got the perfect guy on the show for this. Comment, D. Ren, who's seen pretty much every movie. You can recite every movie from memory. This guy is absolutely obsessed with the franchise. We're gonna play the trailer and start with him when we get back.
You have no authority. None. Mexico City. What were you doing there?
I was taking some overdue holiday.
So what's going on, James? They say you're finished.
Well, what do you think?
I think you're just getting started.
Magnificent, isn't she? 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. A few little tricks up her sleeve.
Do one more thing for me.
What do you have in mind?
Make me disappear. Tell me where he is.
He's everywhere.
You should go there. You're crossing over to a place where there is no mercy.
You're protecting someone.
Get away from me! Why should I trust you?
Because right now, I'm your best chance of staying alive. This organization, do you know what it's called?
Its name is Spectre.
And do you know who links them all?
Me. Welcome, James.
You came across me so many times, yet you never saw me.
What took you so long?
Is this really what you want? Living in the shadows? Hunting? Being hunted? Always alone?
I don't stop to think about it. It was me, James. The author of all your pain.
Spectre coming soon to a theater near you, starring, of course, Daniel Craig. But on the villainous side, we've got a veteran actor who I'm very excited to see in a villain role for a James Bond movie. This is Christoph Waltz, D-Ren. I'm sure you're excited. I'd like to get your thoughts on this.
Oh, very much so. I mean, first of all, Christoph Waltz as, like, he's not going to be Blofeld. They're going to do the whole Star Trek Into Darkness thing with Khan and Nakhon. They bought the rights to Blofeld and Spectre, which was owned by the original, I guess, he was a co-author, so he had the rights. So they finally were able to make a settlement, so it's great. Yeah, I'm just super excited. It has this old-timey feel to it. And also, it's kind of haunting, the trailer. I'm not saying it's like a horror movie, but just it's a bit of creepiness, underlying creepiness to it. And what I've noticed with the Daniel Craig movies is that his Bond is like a more, you know, I guess, human character, more vulnerable, more personal stories. You never really got that in the old movies. And just the last two, I mean, this movie and Skyfall, it just looks like the writing is going to be really fantastic. And I just can't wait.
What do you think happened between like Casino Royale, which was a complete clusterfuck? What was the other one?
I think you're talking about Quantum of Solace. I actually really I really like Casino Royale. I mean, it's actually my favorite Craig movie. I know a lot of people like Skyfall. Okay. Yeah. Quantum of Solace, what happened was, I think one of the reasons was they had this really artistic director who didn't do action. We had shake cam in that movie. And also, apparently, the writer's strike had an effect on kind of rushing the script. So I think that's those two reasons were why many people say it fails. I mean, it is my worst Daniel Craig movie, and it's probably one of my worst of the whole series, even though I love every movie. But I think those two reasons, and also the action, you know, I mean, they tried to just jam in too many action scenes. So, yeah.
You know, and they're coming off Skyfall, which did incredibly well. I think it's the highest grossing Bond film in all the domestic releases.
Yeah.
So do you think it's going to top this? Do you think really they're just going to go down from here? Or how do you think the American audience is going to receive this movie?
I think very well. I mean, especially with the casting of Christoph Waltz, and you have Dave Bautista as Hanks. He looks like a – well, you know, I know you're laughing, but he looks like a memorable henchman. We haven't had a memorable henchman since – oh, wow. I don't even know when. It's been a long, long time. So they're finally getting, you know, the villain, the henchman. The Bond girls look okay. I mean, it's hard to say. Actually, Monica Bellucci is going to be the oldest Bond girl at 50 years old, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, but if you look at her, I mean
– looks good, yeah.
She doesn't look 50.
No, but it's just kind of weird that they're casting someone like older when they usually cast like, you know, like 20, 30 year olds. So it's kind of cool, and I just can't wait. It looks so like going back to classic Bond and everything. So it's going to be amazing.
Anybody else want to comment? Throw it to the floor.
I think Monica Bellucci is like, even at her age, is stunning. I think she's really. She has a great range. Her accent, as you know, she's born and raised in Italy, so you'd think that she might have a little accent, but she just knocks it out of the park. She sounds British, so but I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, I think the trailer looks fantastic, and as someone who really loved Skyfall, I think this is going to do even better than Skyfall. I think they deny it, but we, like D-Ren said, we know it's going to be Blofeld. So I think that, and with Spectre, it's going to get all the fans even more excited. And considering how good Skyfall was, I don't see any reason why the momentum would stop.
All right, moving on. Carnage's story. This is why the Goonies screenwriter will never abandon Goonies 2. Though Michael J. Fox and Robert Zemeckis didn't see any future for Back to the Future, there is still hope for many other reboots and sequels based on classic properties. Though another Goonies, for example, doesn't seem like it will ever see the light of day, director and original Goonies writer Chris Columbus says he will never give up hope. In an interview with Screen Crush, Columbus says that he's heavily developing a Goonies reboot and reinforced his hope for it. According to him, he'll always remain attached to it because who knows what could happen if he's not involved in some capacity. He says, and quote, "I'm staying involved just so I can be protective and actually protect what people love about those movies so that it doesn't go off track." Carnage. I mean, we've seen a million 80s reboots come back. I can't see why this won't eventually come back. It's really cool to see that Columbus is protecting it so heavily, especially with, you know, the fan base being so emotionally attached to it as well. I'd like to get your thoughts on if it will possibly ever happen, and the thoughts of Columbus being involved if it does.
The one thing I want to say I like about Columbus is he's trying to protect a lot of things that he feels like he should protect. I know he's even talked about another Gremlins.
See, that I can see happening.
I think it's a good idea, though. I mean, if he I think his place is like, hey, if I give up any hope in this thing and I just abandon it, then we might lose what everybody loved about the movie itself, like whether it be the Goonies and the adventure they had and bringing back the original cast or whatever it may be. He wants to protect those set of movies. And that's cool for someone who's nostalgic like myself. I'm sure you could agree, old school. So
no, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a lot of properties being redone and a lot of people complaining that these properties do not pay homage to the original property. Yes, you have to be unique, but at the same time, with that hardcore fan base, you have to throw a couple of bones at them. So that's been one of my detriments for a lot of these reboots, is they don't pay tribute to some of the previous films. So throw it out to the panel and get your thoughts. Anybody want to comment on a possible Goonies reboot?
One of the interesting things, and I don't know if it's because I'm older, and I think they kind of mentioned it in the article, is will there still be the sense of wonder in the movie? Like, back when you were, maybe it's because, you know, when we first watched it, we were kids, but like movies like this, like The Sandlot, like I don't get that same feeling. I don't know if it's just because movies in general have changed, or maybe it's just because, you know, we've grown up. So I'm really curious to see if it'll still be like this kind of coming of age movie that you kind of remember, or if it will just be another okay reboot.
I actually don't think I seen Goonies until I was in high school.
I was going to say, I feel like it's the way you look at it sometimes. A lot of people who, some people that are nostalgic, they have kids. So for me, for instance, I like to watch old movies like that with my kids and see how they look at it from their perspective. And, you know, it's good to see that innocence in a kid that we no longer have. And that's the thing I enjoy. Same thing when I watch wrestling with my kids. That mark in me, that little Jimmy that's gone, I could still have it in them. And that's the thing I love about it. And I think it all depends on who's going to go see this movie. I think it's going to generate a lot of kids. And I don't know. I feel like it's going to be it could be a great thing. Hopefully they work it out.
When you say it generates a lot of kids, you mean people are going to be fooling around during the movie and it will eventually generate an increase in population? Or?
No, I worded that wrong, but yeah, we could go with that.
Sounds good. Dre, you were going to comment before. Let's get your thoughts.
I probably am the only one who's never seen Goonies ever. I've seen many references to it. I know more or less what it's about, but I've never seen it. But about the whole nostalgia thing, you know, you can never come back home, you know? I mean, as much as you want to experience that same feeling, it's really hard, and you have to have a really good writer, and things like exactly The Sandlot. I thought that was an awesome movie back then. And then again, you know, Star Wars, you know, it all depends, like I said, the writer, right? Prequels, I was stoked when I heard they were coming out. I was a huge, huge fan of Star Wars. Like, most people were Trekkies, I was a Star Wars fan. And when I saw it, it was like, it was devastating. It's like someone telling you as a kid that Santa doesn't exist and then taking your gifts also.
Like, and then like raping Santa in front of you,
exactly. And eating his cookies. So
literally.
Yeah. So that's one extreme. But then the other extreme is now they're bringing a new writer, which is actually the same writer from Empire Strikes Back. You know, I'm jilted, but I want to go see it again because I have a feeling that it's all about the writer and, you know, anything's possible, right?
Absolutely. Okay, moving on. Next news story. Kebo Trek's news story is regarding Top Gun. Got some new news for that. How Cruise does not want CG for the sequel. Now, Tom Cruise has been doing some press rounds for Mission Impossible Rogue Nation ahead of its release next weekend. And during an interview with Extra TV, the topic of the Top Gun sequel came up. Cruise wants to assure that those keen to see the film that they will not be using computer animation. Quote, if all of us can figure it out, it'd be fun to do. I'd like to fly those jets again. But we got to do all the jets practical. No CGI on the jets. I'm saying right now, no CGI on the jets. We could figure all of that out and the Department of Defense will allow us to do it. That would be fun. Kebo, I think it's interesting. A lot of actors now are kind of going anti-CGI, going back kind of like to the old school way it was done. And I think because the movie was done in the 80s that it would be appropriate. And he's more of a guy who likes to do things himself too, which I think is cool. He's more of a hands-on guy. I don't see this anything wrong with this. And I think it's going to add more to the realness, I guess, to the movie. And I think it's a great idea. I'm looking forward to the sequel as well. It's geared 2 cents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the original, the jet fighter scenes were so fantastic. And like, that was probably the, you know, obviously the best thing about the movie. And you can tell that they were really done. And obviously at the time you couldn't do good CGI, but you're right in that there seems to be like almost like a hipster movement against CGI. And for something like this, it makes total sense. I mean, you're kind of, you know, maybe it'd be different when you see it, but like, I don't think I would get into the movie as much if I knew like all the scenes were CGI. Like knowing it's done practical kind of makes it, like you said, more personal. And the reference I always use is, you know, the new Star Wars movies where Lucas basically had a big boner for CGI and the movies lost all their personality. So in a movie like this, it makes sense. Like, obviously, if like for most science fiction stuff, you're not gonna, you know, you can't always have practical stuff. You need special effects and stuff like that. But for a movie like this, there's absolutely no reason to go CGI. And I'm with Tom Cruise 100%. I don't want to see CGI on this.
Yeah, I got to apologize in advance. Every time I record a podcast, my neighbors decide to start fucking smashing stuff. So be pre-warned. Yeah. Here's the thing with that. I mean, you know, with Spider-Man and fucking Avengers, you know, obviously practical effects are kind of out with it comes to the Hulk and stuff. Like, there's limitations. But in this case, they can easily do it because they did it 30 years ago. And Cruz is the type of fucking crazy guy. He wants to go up in the plane, start shooting Russians for real, man. So I love his intensity, too. And I think it's going to really add to the authenticity of the movie. Throw it out to the panel. Who wants to comment on Top Gun?
Well, I agree with Kembo Trek. To me, what's most intriguing about this is that when I'm watching something where I know it's real stunts, that level of danger kind of adds excitement to the movie. And yeah, Cruise is that kind of actor who's a little crazy. For the new Mission Impossible, he actually hung outside of an airplane that flew in the air like 8 takes. That's just crazy. But I mean, yeah, just for me, like, the new Star Wars are going more toward practical effects. I mean, they're obviously going to have CGI, but they're actually building sets and not just, you know, green screen crap. And Expendables, too. You kind of like the real sense of danger and practical effects. I don't want to see CGI blood or, you know, I miss the old school 80s stuff. So I think this is going to be real, you know, jets and everything. And to me, just because it adds to that sense of danger.
I think the Department of Defense would do it too. I think it would promote. Like, I've never seen Top Gun for the first time. I'm like, I want to be a fighter pilot for like 2 seconds. But still, it promotes, you know, like Army and fucking America and shooting shit down. So I can't see them saying no to that.
I don't know. When I saw Top Gun, I like had an urge to be like a volleyball player all oiled up.
Yeah, absolutely. My shirt off.
You know, moving just slow motion and ambiguously gay, you know, tension between Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer. So, but you know what? I'm going to play the devil's advocate. We can't completely go off of CG because, I mean, for example, I saw Ant-Man last week. They did an amazing job with Hank Pym's, the actor.
Paul Rudd?
No, Hank Pym's the other guy.
I don't know.
Catherine Zeta-Jones married him.
Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Thank you. And, I mean, he looked like, when they showed, like, the past, he looked like himself in the 40s when, like, he was back in, what was that movie,
Basic Instinct.
Thank you. My gosh.
Under Siege. No.
Okay. Under Siege, yeah. So, I mean, it was fantastic. So that compared to, let's say, Tron 2, and you saw how they did their best with they could do there with the faces and stuff. But now, I mean, that was just 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And now it's incredible. So, I mean, that's just the people. I mean, if we do that in, I say, like 2-3 years with, you know, regular, you know, ships and stuff, like, looks completely seamless. I'm like, why not? Saves you money. Sure, why not let the government still, the American government, sponsor them, but that still saves them, you know, a lot of money using planes. I mean, at the end, I sometimes feel like Tom Cruise is just like an action fetish. You know, he gets his, you know, rocks off just by like climbing without like a rope and like, you know, doing all that shit. So, I mean, I'm liking what they're going to do, but just don't completely ban it because, you know, we need technology eventually.
All right. So Heavy Set's got some fucking funny news there. You know what, man? We've seen everything in terms of movies now. Apparently, Sony has got a picture deal for some fucking Emoji movie. So there's a clip on it. We're going to play it and laugh at it in a second.
Sony Pictures has just won a bidding war for the rights to a story pitch for an emoji movie. Yep, we're not kidding, an emoji movie. According to the report, several studios were interested in acquiring the detailed pitch, co-written by Eric Segal, known for TBS's Men at Work, and Anthony Leondis, who will also direct the film. Leondis also directed the upcoming animated film BOO, Bureau of Otherworldly Operations. Mark, do you buy or sell the idea of an animated emoji movie?
Sinead, here's what I think about this movie. I'm excited about this, and I'll tell you why. Because of the Lego movie. Because the Lego movie proved you can make toys and have a new funny spin on it. This movie's not going to take itself seriously. It's going to make fun of the fact that we all use emojis. I used to hate emojis, and then I got a girlfriend. That's the only way we communicate now, is through emojis. It's so much easier than getting in a fight. Either text her the kiss emoji or the poo emoji, and she knows exactly how I feel. This movie's going to do the same thing. They're going to have fun with this content. I hope. I am an early optimist of the emoji film.
I fucking disagree with this guy. I think Lego movie did well because you had fucking everybody in it, and there was a good story to it. I can't see them doing any fucking story with fucking emojis. I mean, maybe I'm just being closed-minded here, and they have the really good script that kind of ties into it, but I just don't see it right now. Heavy set. Do you agree with me?
I completely disagree with you. No, I'm kidding. I agree with you. I keep hearing, like, when this movie keeps coming up, that's the comparison. Everyone goes, well, the Lego movie. Legos have been around for ages. Well, not ages, but just years upon years. And children and parents and some, maybe even some grandparents out there grew up with Legos. So there is a identifiability, whatever. Yeah, that. There's everybody like identifies with it, and the surge of Legos has gone through the roof lately in the past decade. I mean, granted, and those started with licensing products, but it's just not the same. It reminds me of a lot of the other trend movies that we see pop out or they get talked about. I don't know if any of them ever going to get made. Like when they're talking about like Angry Birds movie, and I don't know where that happened to. I think they just turned into a movie TV series and some other stuff. I think this is going to be as bad as Battleship. And if I was going to rate this on emoji scale, it would be the poop one.
Are you gonna put that in the red book?
That it's going to be as bad as
Battleship.
Too early.
We don't even have a story. We don't have a trailer yet. I mean,
as of right now, it is in the red book in pencil.
Okay.
In the red book in pencil, that it's going to be just as bad. I'm going to give myself a $10 million window as of right now. Okay, if it does $10 million better, and like it's still just as bad.
All right, so I'm calling it now. 2016, we're going to have a selfie movie.
You're going to put that in the red book?
I'm putting in the fucking red book. I'm going to mark it down. What's my timestamp here?
There was a selfie TV show on ABC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on ABC.
Yeah. With,
how long did it last?
With Karen Gillian, not like a half a season.
Oh, okay.
I want to sit down and watch that only because I love her.
It was a good show, actually, with also... what's his name? John
Great
Cho?
Great show, yeah. It lasted half a season. Great show.
Wow. So did Journeyman, and that was a great show. So, I mean, you can't judge it by...
Don't bring up Journeyman. I'm very sensitive about Journeyman.
Well, so am I, but... Or Firefly. All these great shows that...
Fuck Firefly. Journeyman was a fantastic show.
It was.
But the problem is they fucking slow play Journeyman. That's why they got screwed.
Well, you have to. I mean, you could reveal it all in one season, or you could do...
What are you slapping yourself? No, listen, let's fucking... Okay, we're going to go a bit off topic. Sorry, Heavy. Journeyman, they played it... I'm not talking about revealing, dropping your load in the first fucking season. But, like, they were ridiculously slow on some fucking plot points. It was just like, I'm like, are you fucking still doing it? Like, you have to speed this up. And Campbell's like, no, you're going at a good pace. And then fucking, guess what happened? Nobody watched it, went down the fucking tube after the first episode.
The pace was okay. I found...
No, it was.
Well, you only thought so because they knew they were getting canceled. So yeah, we're going to say all our answers. But anyway, it was also on NBC, so that's probably why.
Okay, so this next story for Andre is how Star Wars totally screwed Kevin Smith at Comic-Con. So I don't know if you guys heard about this, but I'm a frequent listener to Kevin Smith's podcast. So what happens is... At Hall H, usually Kevin Smith will end the day, whether it's a movie trailer, premiere, whatever. He'll usually end the day, and most of the people will stay and listen to his Q&A. Like, you might have 1,000 or 2 drop-off. figure this Hall H can seat around 8,000 people. So normally he's pretty much near capacity every year because he's, you know, very popular. What happens is fucking the director of Star Wars, Abrams, goes, okay, so everybody, let's all go to a fucking Star Wars themed thing, a fucking gala, and I'm going to give you a free lifesaver. See ya. And fucking everybody gets the fuck out of there. And like maybe 1,000 people are left for Kevin Smith's Q&A. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, and he, you know, he did his trailer of not Moose Jaws, but it's the other one. It's
Mallrats.
Yoga Hosers.
No, Yoga Brat. Hosers. That's it. Yeah.
Okay, Yoga Hosers.
It's not a Mall Brats. It's that's coming out soon too. But Yoga Hosers starring his daughter, Harley Quinn, and Johnny Depp's daughter. So I'm keeping an open mind till I see a trailer, but his first movie is fucking terrible, in my opinion. So I think it's a bit of a fuck you from Star Wars. I don't think they did it on purpose, obviously, but knowing that you have a guy coming after and you're doing that and like the entire fan base is going to leave, I think it's still a bit of a dick move on Abrams' part. And he knows Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith went to the set and stuff. So I don't know. I don't think it's on purpose, but I think it was a bit of oversight. I think it was disrespectful for Abrams to do it. Dre, do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree to an extent. I mean, first of all, we both know that Kevin Smith is a huge Star Wars fan. I mean, a lot of his movies have Star Wars references, you know, Star Wars and comic books. He's just as much of a fan geek as all of us. But you got to understand, at these conventions, I mean, there's multiple panels and events going simultaneously. And you know what? I bet you, even though he was pissed, I bet you he was like one of those people who was like, maybe if I like walk away slowly, no one's going to notice me leave my own panel and be at the Star Wars one. Because I think it was like conflicting him so much that he got screwed over, but he loves this stuff just as much as anyone else. And I think you're right. I mean, JJ, I think he must have not realized the extent of how it would affect other major panels. And Kevin Smith, I'm sure him and Kevin Smith, they probably just, you know, it's all under the bridge. But I mean, yeah, it sucks. But I mean, you have to understand, everyone at the convention, the majority of them have overlapping hobbies. I mean, they got, like, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, comic books, movies. I mean, something major that's about to happen that's for them, from their point of view. And I was following that event with the lightsabers because it's like a one-time thing. Because what happens, it was not just lightsabers they were giving out. They were running a huge concert, open-air concert there, not too far from the actual convention site itself. And that's another reason why a lot of people were leaving to go see it. It was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing to see this huge open-air concert have not only the original songs played, but also some of the new songs that will be featured in the new movie. I mean, that is hard to pass up, right?
Yeah, Kevin Smith's there every year, right? So,
oh, I understand. Yeah, exactly.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's like on a whim. It's just I think it's just bad timing. It's unfortunate for him.
And honestly, I think, I don't know if it really is Abrams. Maybe, but remember, Disney now is in control of Star Wars, right? And, you know, they have the image of being cute and fuzzy and Mickey Mouse and all that stuff, but they're ruthless. They don't care. I mean, whoever, like, is, you know, at the panel, other panels, they don't care. They'll put their thing and they'll let it go. And for them, it's you know, it's just business. And I mean, speaking of that, at the same convention, there was this unique stormtrooper, because now they've upgraded the stormtrooper look for the next movie. And it was so crazy because it was an exclusive toy. And people were fighting, punching each other to get these toys, these limited editions. I mean, I was reading this article on Kotaku, and the guy is just showing his like his busted up lip, and like the toy that he's holding, and it's like, it's insane, man. It's like nerd rage or something. I don't know. So you know, sometimes it gets the better of us too, right? So I mean, I don't blame Kevin Smith. He has the right. I mean, he had it all booked. He goes there every year, and he does an awesome show. And people love them. And, you know, the true fans stayed. But, you know, it's Comic-Con, right? Things happen like this.
Yeah, I think it's just bad timing. But yeah. Panel, let's throw it to the panel. What do you guys think?
Couldn't the argument be if people were interested enough, they would stay? Like, yeah, Star Wars are doing all these things. But if you're a big enough fan, like I don't blame Star Wars for doing it. It's if people wanted to see Kevin Smith, they would have went to see him. like Andre mentioned, there's always conflicting stuff. So maybe poor people weren't as interested in seeing Kevin Smith this year.
Well, hold on. I think if they didn't announce the giant fucking concert and free lifesavers, you would have had a lot more people staying. So
perhaps, but it's Kevin Smith's responsibility to make sure they stay.
I think that's a bit of a dick comment, Kev. And I know you're not a fan of Kevbo. You're not a fan of yourself. You're not a fan of Kevin Smith. But if they wouldn't have done all this free shit, I think people wouldn't have been as conflicted. They would have stayed. Because he has year on year practically sold out his panels. So, and this is the only year in like the 10 years that he's been there where he's had such a significant dip. So statistically, he does have a huge fan base. And if Disney wasn't given it this once in a lifetime opportunity and fucking him over, I think it would have been a little different.
The thing is, it's not their responsibility to worry about Kevin Smith.
But listen, there's no responsibility, but I think there's a certain code that you do to not fuck somebody over, especially a guy who's been so vocally supportive of your franchise, not only on all his podcasts, his Twitter, all of that. So you got such a huge fanboy, and you're giving him a massive fuck you.
C'est la vie.
I don't think there was 1,000 people there. It looked more like 30 people.
Yeah, well, there's certain photos showed more than other photos.
So, Photoshop.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. Yeah, there you go.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. If I was offered a lightsaber, I probably would have bailed too.
Who knows? Who knows what I would have done? I'm not huge into Star Wars though, but who knows? Free lightsaber, yeah. I could sell on eBay. Okay, let's get into the movie reviews of the week. Has anybody seen Pixels? Well, you haven't missed much, because from what I'm told from Carps, and we're not going to have him on this week, I don't think, but from what I heard from Carp at the ROH pay-per-view and online, he was very vocally against this movie. And this is a guy who watches like fucking Zombievers and fucking the biggest pieces of shit of movies and gives them like 8 out of 10. So if Carp's not a fan of this, I mean, I don't know what to say, and we're going to talk about numbers a bit later, but yeah, man, I'm kind of happy I avoided it, and I find it's interesting. I'm not quite sure what the numbers are. I haven't checked them yet, but it seems to be more and more people are relying on online reviews before they go see a movie. Do you guys agree with that?
My wife does. She likes looking at the Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. So
do you? But when you check the Rotten Tomatoes, do you check the critics, the audience, or both? Or how do you like scope what if you're going to see something or not?
Me, it's by the trailer. I mean, I don't care what people say. I mean, we've talked about this before about Butterfly Effect, universally hated among most critics and people, and it's a really good movie. And so I don't go by critics or audience members' likes because I have different likes. I like Cutthroat Island, and that got bashed. So, I mean, it's whatever's to my taste. That's what I go see.
For myself, I can speak for myself saying that I'll usually weigh in the two scores. If the critic score and the audience score is vastly different, like we're talking 30% to 80, I'll usually go see it because the critics are probably being douchebags. If it's pretty much a consensus that it's garbage, I'll usually avoid it. And this had a tomato meter. The critic score gave it 19% and the audience gave it 57%. And usually the audience is going to be a lot more forgiving. So if a movie's hitting under, you know, 65, under 70, it's usually not that great. So that's that combined with Carp's review made me avoid it. And I'm probably going to check it out of curiosity on maybe a digital download just to see how bad it is. But because of Sandler's recent reputation, I think that added to me not going to see it. Because I was going to see this actually in a doubleheader with Charlie. I was going to go see this and then Ant-Man. So I will not be going to see this because of that. So for movies we have seen, I know Kev Botrek has seen Trainwreck starring Amy Schumer, and we're going to get his review.
I have too as well. So.
All right, cool. Awesome. Start with Kev.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really a fan of this. It's pretty much your typical romantic comedy, just a bit more raunchy. And I guess part of the reason is I've never really been an Amy Schumer fan. Maybe if I was, I would appreciate this more. And it was your cliched romantic comedy. One thing I did like was that neither of them are she's not a gorgeous person. The guy playing.
Wow. Don't hold back, buddy.
No, I didn't say no. I didn't say she was ugly. I just said.
You say she was a piece of shit. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
But like,
that's what you're implying.
And I think the other lead's Bill Hader, right?
Yeah.
Like, neither of them are, like, models, so I like that they were kind of more real people. And I like LeBron James. I thought he was great in his role. So I like that. But overall, it's maybe I'm just not really a fan of her humor. And so I didn't enjoy it as much as other people. It's a romantic comedy, so you're going to get a cliched ending, which if it went for maybe a little more unsafe ending, I would have liked it more. But overall, it's not really my type of movie. I saw it because the girlfriend wanted to see it. And I would give it 5 John Cena's naked butt on 10.
Okay.
Here's a little bit of irony. There's a video from whenever the movie premiered. I think it's on Funny or Die that LeBron, Bill Hader, Judd Apatow, and Amy Schumer all went to this drive-in restaurant in the Akron area. I just did half the show from one of them. And yeah, so that was very ironic because I was hungry.
There you go. D-Ren. I know Kebo checks a 7-year-old. And a 30-year-old's body, so I knew he wasn't going to like this. But I know you're a little bit more open-minded, so let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to say I'm a big fan of Amy Schumer. I think she's like more hit and miss from her comedy show. To me, yeah, Kebo Trek was right about, you know, it had the cliche, you know, romantic formula ending type thing. And yes, the comedy is more raunchy because she wrote it, but I thought it was really funny. The whole theater was laughing. LeBron James was really good, like so much better than I thought he would be. Even John Cena was pretty funny. But to me, I think what I judge a movie on is basically whether I laughed, and I laughed a lot. You know, there's a bit of racial jokes in there, which were really funny. But, you know, I thought it was, you know, it was charming. It was nice. And it kind of flipped the script as well, because she played a character who was sleeping around with guys and, like, leaving the next day and not wanting any phone calls. So I thought that was kind of, you know, refreshing and new. You all see the guy as a player, so she was more of the playerette. So yeah. I'm going to give this movie 7.5 motion capture Hitler marches out of 10.
Wow, okay.
It's from the movie, so.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, I saw a movie over the weekend. This was a TV movie. Has anybody else seen Sharknado? That was the only lucky one.
I saw the second one, but let me know how the third is.
The third? Okay, here's the third one. I
taped it.
Like, when you go in, it's Sharknado. So if you get pissed off at the story or the acting or whatever, you're an idiot. What I like is, and I think Jericho was talking about this too, is they don't play it campy. They play it serious, even though it's a Sharknado. So, like, you see, like, Al Roker and fucking, like, all the news people on NBC, they're, like, talking very seriously about how a Sharknado's coming in. And, you know, but even Ian Ziering, I think, he does a good job for being an action lead in a movie where he has a chainsaw and takes out sharks. The story is, at some points, it's fucking ridiculous, but it made me laugh instead of saying, oh, what the fuck are they doing? Like, I was laughing because it was so ridiculous. At some point, they're in the White House, and Mark Cuban's the president, which I think is funny. So many cameos, too. It's crazy. Mark Cuban's the president, and they're going down to the presidential bunker because the Sharknado is, like, taking over. And they're like, this is the most secure area in the world. Like, nobody can get in. And the second you open the door, you got sharks, like, jumping. Like, how the fuck does the shark get in this bunker? There's no way. I mean, the probability of the shark somehow being in the bunker makes no sense. Stuff like that made me laugh. Just being so, like, then they go up in this. I don't want to spoil too much, but they're in fucking space. And then, like, it's all over the place. But it was actually a lot better in terms of graphics than the first two. And I think this is because they had product placement, which helped pay for some of the budget. And also they filmed in Universal. And I'm sure that Universal gave them, you know, pretty much free rein because it was great promotion for the parks and stuff. So I think they were smart in they used their limited budget well, probably getting a lot of free cameos from the names because they want to be in it because of the buzz and product placement and stuff. So it helped pay for most of the movie. And so that's why they really bumped up their I could see them spending a good $5 million on this. It was a lot better than the first two in terms of the graphics and stuff. And, you know, it was cool to see, like, you know, Chris Jericho getting eaten by a shark and stuff. And it was fun. It is what it is. If you go in there with the right attitude, you're going to enjoy it. So for that, I'm going to give it a 6.5. Has anybody else seen it? No? Okay. All good. Check it out. Pretty much a free download, or you could check it out, I guess, on TV if you have sci-fi. I don't know what the ratings are. Do you guys know the ratings for the third one? Did it break records or?
It probably did because they're making a fourth one. So they announced the fourth one already. So
yeah, this was interesting actually. They talk about killing off a character, and you can decide at the end of the movie if you tweet a certain way whether the character is going to be around for the next movie. So I thought that was kind of cool. He uses social media well, especially for the type of movie it is. So I think that was interesting too. All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. So officially, the movie draft is over for me because unfortunately, my big movie, did not do very well this weekend. We'll get into the movie draft specifically a little later on, but Ant-Man actually won this weekend's box office with a weekend gross of $24.7 million. Big drop, though, 56% from the previous week. Now has a total domestic gross of $106. Pixels, which was my last chance at winning the movie draft off Andre, came in pretty low at $24 million, has an $88 million budget, probably $110 million with ads and prints and stuff like that. So I don't know how well it's going to do. Maybe foreign will save it. But this definitely had a bad turnout. And I think for a couple of reasons, and agree or disagree with me, panel, but my two reasons are saturated market and bad reviews. You guys agree with me?
Adam Sandler.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm going to throw this out there because I had a friend watch it, and it was one of the first online reviews that I got. I think he might have seen it at a midnight showing or something, but I liked how he explained the movie because he was just like, if you're going in and thinking this is going to be this mega box office movie, it's not. But like, you go for it for the nostalgia factor of a lot of those characters that are being brought into the movie, and he said for that aspect, it was great.
Minions, third place, $22 million, 55% drop-off. It's got a total domestic at $261. I mean, on a $74 million budget and a $497 million foreign gross, I mean, it's got a total of $700 million, but 10 times the budget. So we're going to be seeing more of these movies. You know what I mean? Yes, it's a high drop-off for an animated film. Critics were a little harsh on it. The reviews were pretty low. But because of the draw of these guys, I think they have definitely an opportunity to redeem themselves on another movie. But I mean, it's making a ton of money, so definitely a new franchise for Pixar. Trainwreck's in fourth place with $17 million, 40% drop-off. That's actually pretty good. With a budget of $35, it's definitely going to make its money back. Got a total domestic of $61 million, and it doesn't have high foreign numbers, but I think that's because it hasn't been released yet.
I could actually be surprised if this made anything on the foreign market. Like, I think we're going to see 90 to 95% on the domestic market, so I'm not sure how much it's going to make.
It's not going to lose, though. You figure it's only been out 2 weeks?
Yeah,
that's 61
true.
Already? Probably... I mean, it's a low budget. I think it's going to make, especially when it goes to the DVD market, it's going to make a bit of money. It's not a $100 million movie, but you know.
But you have to remember they have to double the budget to make a profit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, since episode one, we've been discussing it. Southpaw debuted a little higher than I expected, so I'm a little happy with that. $16 million. I predicted $9 last week. Budget of $30. I think it's going to be a slow-paced box office revenue maker. The reviews are pretty decent, so I think this is going to end up probably with 80-90 at the end of it, but it's going to take a while for it to make that money. Paper Towns debuted a little higher than I thought too, $12.5 million with a budget of $12 million. So, I mean, it's pretty much made its money back already. Well, yeah, you figure half. Oh, it's got 4 and a 16, so there you go. So, yeah, it's pretty much made its money back. Inside Out, 7th place, making me some more money. And this is normal of animated movies with a lower drop-off. It's got a 36% drop-off, $7 million this week, total domestic of $320. Jurassic World, still making some cash, still low drop-off, man. This has really been surprised. So, yeah, man, surprised everybody and pretty much going to make Andre win this draft. $6.9 million, total domestic of $623 million. Wow. Mr. Holmes increased 17%, doubling its screens, made $2.8 million, total domestic of $6.4. Running off the top 10, Terminator Genesis got another $2.4 million for a total domestic of $85 million. Movies coming out this week, we got a couple of big ones. Yeah, a couple of huge ones, actually. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation's up first. Let's play the trailer and get our thoughts.
Benji!
Ethan?
Open the door!
Yeah, okay.
Benji, open that door right now!
Yeah, I'm trying.
Come on.
Ethan!
This isn't going very well. Agent Brad, the IMF is not just a rogue organization. It is a disgraced one. Every one of the attacks that you attributed to the syndicate, the IMF is there. It's a long story. I want you to choose your next words very carefully. Where is Hunt?
I have no way of contacting him. He's deep cover. Ethan, where are you?
The syndicate is real. They know who we are.
They're trained to do what we do.
An anti-IMF.
Neither one of us is equipped to fight them alone.
You want to bring down the syndicate? It's impossible.
How do you know we can trust her?
Desperate times. Desperate measures.
Are you okay to drive? A minute ago you were dead.
What are you talking about?
This is not gonna end well.
This may very well be our last mission. Make it count.
You have to get through 12 feet of concrete and 70,000 gallons of pressurized water.
No oxygen tanks.
That doesn't sound impossible.
No, no, no.
Ethan, do you copy? Ethan, abort! Abort now!
I mean, this looks great. You know, it just seems like every movie he's gone fucking rogue, or they're trying to like get rid of him, or there's always some controversy. That I'll forgive because they're very action-packed. And apart from the first one, I pretty much followed the story pretty well. So he's proved now with Oblivion and Edge of Tomorrow, he can still go in terms of action. Like we had mentioned, he's a bit of a thrill seeker, a bit of a nuts. And I've always been a fan of his. I know a couple of people on the panel aren't huge fans of his, but I've always been a huge fan of Tom Cruise. So I'm definitely going to see this opening day. I'm there Friday. Yay for me. Kebo Trek.
Yeah, it's a yay for me. Generally, I think the Mission Impossible movies have been solid. I know 2's considered a dud, but I really liked it. 3 was great. So yeah, I'm definitely going to see this.
3 was too Katie Holmes-ish. That's the only one I didn't like. D-Run.
Katie Holmes.
The whole Katie Holmes scenario, if you look into the third one, the main actress looks exactly like Katie Holmes. It was that whole kind of play on he was in a relationship with her, and it just seems like it tied too much into that. Like he had too much influence on the storyline of the third one. Do you not see where I'm going with this?
Not really, to be honest.
So, I don't know, man. I think you have to watch it again. Because I think you missed a couple.
I actually just watched it last week.
Well, that's what you weren't paying attention. You weren't paying attention then. Because how you not seeing the Katie Holmes fucking relation blows me away. D-Ren, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of spy movies. So this is like James Bond's cooler American cousin type thing. So yeah, they're fun movies. They're action packed. I mean, real stunts. You can't get better than that.
Andre, yay or nay?
I'm not a Mission Impossible fan. I think I just like you, I kind of got a little put off after the second one that John Woo filmed there. And it looks too repetitive for my taste.
Carnage. Le Carnage.
Yeah, it's a yay for me.
Opening day?
Probably not opening day. Digital download.
Digital download for the Carnage. Heavy set. Opening day?
Opening nay.
Yeah, I saw that coming. I know you're not a huge Tom Cruise fan, man. All right, so I'm yay, Kebo's yay, D-Ren's a yay, Andre's an a nay, Carnage's digital download, and Heavyset's a super yay. Let's get to Vacation, also coming out this week. Old school Chevy Chase fans are going to like this. Let's play the trailer and get our thoughts.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love this song. Everybody sing it with me.
Andre, that's so awesome. For nobody's going to get that, but that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that I'll explain later. Did you know that when it snows, my eyes become loud and the light that you shine can't be seen?
Go to sleep, baby! I compare you.
you do a kiss from a rose on the grave? I can't believe no one in this family wants to sing.
Wally World? Here we come.
What the hell is that?
That's a 2015 Tartan Prancer. It's the Honda of Albania. Let's hit the road.
What kind of asshole would drive his family cross country?
Audrey, Dad wanted us to be close, and that's all I want for my family.
Family is the most important thing there is.
Hi, folks! You must be the Fung family.
Huh?
I'm just messing you. The guy's face is like, Fungs? Huh?
Stop talking to me.
Sheila. Sheila, do you like school this year?
It's okay. So, do you like school this year? That's seriously what you sound like. Just shut up.
You gotta go faster, Dad.
The printer doesn't go any faster.
Okay, well, maybe if I press this rapid button, it'll, like, give it a boost or something.
Yes.
What's happening?
I'm swiveling.
Literally, somebody blew their head off.
Freeze!
This trip's been a nightmare.
You had a dream to take your family to Wally World. Never let that go.
What kind of a family are you?
We're the Griswolds, you piece of ass.
Beautiful.
I say we call it Griswold Springs.
Why does it smell like rotten eggs?
Well, that's the sulfur, buddy.
Yeah. It's natural.
We should jar this stuff.
I don't think this is a hot spring.
I found a dart.
Are you crazy?
Everybody out of Griswold Springs! We're naked and covered in human waste.
Oh, come on, sweetheart. We don't know that it's human.
I'm actually liking this trailer a lot more than the first one, and this might have convinced me to go see this on a cheapy Tuesday. I think I want to go, because I first thought it looked too campy and stuff, but it looks like there's a lot more kind of foul language. The younger kid looks like an asshole, so that looks pretty fun. Cast looks good, too, so this trailer has swung me around to the yay camp. I'm in. Andre, yay or nay?
Yeah, it looks funny, and I agree that the second trailer looked better. I think it's a good replacement for Chevy Chase, and yeah, they had me at Kiss from a Rose on the Grave there. So
it's a more modern, I think, remake of the Chevy Chase stuff. It puts a little more crude kind of foul language. So I think it's going to be more for like the younger people of nowadays compared to more of the campy stuff.
But here's the question. Is it like a continuation? Like this one, remember originally there was a son. Is he now the father like figure now? Or is it just like they were just replacing as if it's continuation?
No, he's the father. It's the son of Chevy Chase's character.
Yeah, Rusty Griswold.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, he's the son.
So I think it's an interesting take on it. You know, like, I think they had to maybe throw Chevy Chase, give him a cameo or something, but I think they needed to distance themselves. Well, you know, what's his name's a bit of a nut job now. What the fuck's his name?
Beverly Dabble? Oh, you're not talking about the woman?
No, I'm talking about the dude, the crazy cousin there.
Oh.
He's been in trouble with the law and stuff. I forget his name. Anyways, we'll come back to that. Somebody look that up. So, I mean, it makes sense, especially it's been 20 years since the original. So I think there is some hope here of something pretty good. And the trailer has convinced me to go into it. Carnage, yay or nay?
Yeah, it's a yay for me. I definitely want to check it out. I was a fan of the Vacation series. So
opening?
Probably not opening.
Tuesday or?
Yeah, try Tuesday. Digital download whenever I get to it. I got a lot of crap I'm watching right now and catching up on. So
there you go. Heavy set.
This is a yay for me. I've been yay since they announced it because just Ed Helms stepping into that role, then you find out that he's Rusty Griswold and they're continuing on from it. And because was that the Red Band trailer that you played or no?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, yeah, because I'd seen that they had released one, but I didn't get a chance to watch it.
No, that wasn't the Red Band.
Oh, there wasn't?
No, you didn't play the Red Band.
Well, you know, I'm kind of happy I didn't because if it's going to be a bit crude and like I'd rather not be spoiled. I find they spoil too much in the trailers now, so. Actually, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm not going to check out that trailer specifically because I don't want to get kind of the funny parts ruined for me. Kebo Trek, it's your thoughts.
I'm pretty on the fence about this, but if the lady...
Unless it's Resident Evil, you will not go see a fucking movie.
You know what? If the girlfriend wants to go see it, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it.
Yeah, she's
so
going.
I'll put a soft yay.
Half chub yay for Kebo Trek. All right. So summer movie draft, I haven't tallied up the numbers yet, but to be honest, there wasn't a huge change. Pixels needed to make a lot of money for me to come anywhere close. So I'm pretty much out of it, guys. I think it's going to be up to Heavyset here and his two big ones, which is Mission Impossible. It's coming out this week, and he's got Fantastic Four. So those two need to make, I'd say, around five for you to win. And that's, and Carb's out of it, too. Kev, you're out of it. You got a bunch of jobber. Unless Vacation makes like $800 million. I think Andre's got this. So Heavy, it's up to you, man. What do you guys predict Mission Impossible is going to make opening weekend? Start with Kev Botrek.
I'm going to go with 54 million.
It's a very specific number, but okay, there we go. Andre, how much do you think Mission Impossible is making this week?
Next week, I'd say about like 30.
30 opening. Oh, yeah. Maybe a little low. You might have some insider information there, man. You know, tell us. Carnage, how much is it making?
I'm going to say 42 million.
Have you set?
29.
29 opening. Wow. That's the thing. It is fucking like oversaturated to the max. There is, and you see the results. Like this week, you didn't have a definitive winner. You know, you had three or four movies close to 20 or above. So actually, Southpaw was 16 too. So very saturated. So,
I think Ant-Man is cutting into a lot of their money because it wasn't expected to be good. I think people had such low expectations for it, and then they were pleasantly surprised, and now they're coming back to see the movie or having other people go see it.
Well, it did have a pretty high drop, but I think it's still going to end around, I originally said 120. I think that's going to go around to 140 now, because it's probably, you know, if it continues on its line, a 50% drop, it's going to make another 12 this weekend. That'll put it at 118. So I could see it going around 140, maybe 150. But yeah, it's definitely going to take money out of MI. But I think MI is going to open with, I'm thinking around Kev Botrek's number, but I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say 58 for this week. MI5 makes 58 million. Still has a draw and still has a pretty big fan base. Second movie, Vacation. Kebo, how much is it making?
I actually think this is going to come in pretty low. I'm going to, if I have to put a number, I would say 13 million.
Carnage, Vacation.
I'm going to say 18 million.
Andre.
I give about 20 as well.
Heavy set, Vacation, how much is it making?
20.5.
And I'm going to say 13. All right, let's get into feedback and close the show.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
And the Vigilante, hashtag OSATM, episode 126. Why the fuck was I not invited on this one? Amazing topics this week. Thank you very much. And you were invited to this one, but you no-showed. So I don't know what to tell you, man. We're offering you the opportunity, and you're not fucking coming. So anytime, Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, you want to come on, fucker, or cunt, as you like to say. Your cunt is always welcome on Old School to Movies. This is Brian from Toons, hashtag OSATM. Just watched Ant-Man with my son. He reviewed it as a 9 shrunken ant suits out of 10. Are you guys going to, I don't think you guys have seen it. Are you guys going to check this out? Or it's got a lot of good buzz. I'm actually going to see it now, even though I've been kind of negative towards ants in general. I say ants aren't a draw, and I didn't think Paul Rudd was much of a draw either, but it got really good reviews, so that's kind of leaning me over to check it out on a cheapy Tuesday. Is this going to convince any of you guys to see it?
I'm just waiting for a good copy to come up.
Personally, I loved it. I was just as skeptical as most people, if not people, if not more, because for me, Ant-Man wasn't a major character in my books. I really didn't expect anything much. The trailer was really unappealing. The reason I actually saw it was because of my niece. And when seeing it, I was actually pretty impressed. The storyline was good. It wasn't like at the end of the, you know, end of the world kind of scenario thing. But I mean, it was more about like the internal struggle about himself and, you know, becoming the hero for, you know, his family for the sake of redemption. And so it was a nice backstory. It was the redemption of like two characters, like Hank Pym and I keep on forgetting his last name. But anyway, Paul Rudd's character. And in the end, I mean, there was a lot of funny, like it wasn't like over the top, like as a joke kind of movie, but it was on like on par to like the humor of Guardians of the Galaxy. And one major thing, if the fact that they can make you feel bad for an ant dying is pretty impressive. So I'm just saying it's really well done how they did it. It's worth at least going to see on Shibi Night.
Yeah, and it's Scott Lang, by the way. You call yourself a comic book fan.
My bad. Oh, see, that's how much I care much for Ant-Man. That's how much. So.
Well, there you go. Comic book fan, by the way. Okay, Black Ghost. Watched Terminator and loved all the little nods to the first and second movies. Hashtag OSATM. I agree. I fucking love Terminator. I don't know why it got such a low score. I still argue this, that you weren't a real fan of the franchise if you're shitting on this last one. Because, yes, the storyline's a little bit, but that's because they had to fill in some holes. And I think they did a good job doing it. It was great to see Arnold. They hit his age well. There's nothing wrong with that fucking book. Well, except they didn't explain a couple
of things. The thing is, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing really... I don't want to say nothing right, but they didn't really do anything exceptional. It was just kind of there. Like I
what are you talking about, like, man? What do you expect it to be?
No, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was just there. And I think
they filled in the plot holes properly.
But there was a
throwback to the old Arnold. It was cool to see that.
I love
that. Yeah.
But other than like that part, I just kind of felt like, why are we doing this again? And I really
because the fourth one was abysmal.
Well, yeah.
They didn't have Arnold in the fourth one. They wanted to right the wrongs, and there was still potential buzz and good money to be made. That's why they fucking made it. And I thought it was a great movie.
I thought it was okay. It was there.
No, because you're comparing it to the second one. Nothing's going to live up to the second
one.
It's the fifth iteration of the movie.
That's probably the problem. Like, it's...
Well, too bad. You have your expectations way too fucking high, and that's your fucking problem. If you go in with a reasonable expectation level, you would have enjoyed it.
But I didn't. That's the thing. I did enjoy it.
Okay, so why are we disagreeing?
I don't know if I can get you. It was a great movie. I said it was
a great movie.
A good movie.
Fuck you. Anyways, you fucking piece of shit. All right. Cataclysmic at KillerCarpeDiem at oldmovies.net. OMG, I'm so excited for Pixels. # OSATM. I think you're legally retarded if you're going to say that. Sorry, man. Because everybody... I think he's trolling. That's what it is. He must be trolling.
He's an idiot.
That's got to be it. He's going for the cheap heat. That's what he's doing. And that's after Carp gave it a 2.5. So, and that's Carp. Zombievers is in his top five for 2014. And I just sent him over a link for this his fucking ridiculous ass movie about some rabbit with a fucking dildo who keeps screaming, pussy, pussy. And then like Carp's like, I have to watch this movie. So this is Carp, and he fucking hated it. So that's why I'm staying away from it. All right, let's close this show with our plugs and final thoughts. Heavy Step, we will start with you.
I don't know. Will you be able to hear me?
I hope so. You got to switch to AT&T, man. It's a problem.
I have AT&T.
You got okay.
AT&T.
I mean, right, you got to switch to Sprint.
same old, trainingtopicsnetwork.com. Check out all the great shows, Ohio Indie Report, Ohio Wrestling Network, all that kind of fun stuff. And the allwrestling.com week interview.
You still hosting that?
We did the one episode last week, me and Dan, but I'm hosting it until Labor Day because that's when I say, dude, I have to record NFL Easy Picks and he's coming back.
How's he doing? I know I've been working with him kind of behind the scenes to get his setup going, and I think he's pretty much ready to go.
Oh, yeah. We did a live show to get one on a live show. We did a show together last week and we did it over Skype and filling in everything, and it was very much a process. It was a 4-hour show, and I probably spent like 6 to 7 hours on Skype over two sessions.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's good. I'm glad he's ironing that stuff out. That's great. Carnage, Screw Peace, where can we find you on the internet?
Follow me at Carnage0228 on Twitter. You can hear me on the All Wrestling Weekend Review and right here on OSATM.
Ass to mouth. Kebo Trek. Please tell me. You've had 2 weeks to come up with a final thought. Please tell me you got something.
Well, I will say I think it's been more than 2 weeks since I've been on. Anyway, it's been a little while, so it's good to be back. Yeah. Hey, it's a final thought.
It's something. It's a start, and I'm going to stay positive. Even though you're Terminator, I want to. If I could kick somebody in the balls through Skype, I would have done it. But you know what? You're entitled to your opinion. Andre, we got some Bitcoin talk. We got some comic books FTW.
Oh, yeah. Well, as for the FTW, I'm a little bit on hiatus for now. But for the Bitcoin talk, yes, definitely. I'm organizing me and a couple of friends and colleagues an actual convention in August. So from the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, we'll be having the first Montreal Bitcoin Expo convention. And it is absolutely free to attend. Many panels. Many exhibitors, go see it. It'll be fun. What do you got to lose? It's just interesting to at the very least see and understand what it is. And also for the movie side, I definitely suggest everyone to see the leaked footage of the Deadpool trailer. And
We discussed it last week. Holy shit.
Yes. And the X-Men Age of Apocalypse also.
Olivia Munn, I literally ejaculated in my chair when I saw it. We wanted to be one of the Carnage was joking. We wanted to be one of the two people who had to lube her up to get into that suit. So check it out, man. The Bitcoin, it's a decentralized currency. If you're in Greece right now and you had Bitcoin, you'd be fine. You wouldn't have to worry about it. So there you go. Food for thought. All right. So for Kebbo Trek, Andre, La Carnage, and Heavy Set, and his horrible AT&T, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
Before people caught on that video game movies were a terrible idea, experience the film that proved video game movies are a terrible idea. Super Mario Bros. Based on the Super Mario Brothers video game. Kinda.
Where's the rocket?
Okay, not really at all. Comes the film that takes a game about a tiny plumber who jumps to the right and really focuses in on the plumbing.
Basin wrench!
Basin wrench!
Lock off all these valves.
I'm gonna drill it out!
It's a plumber's nightmare. These pipes haven't been serviced for years.
Must have been a non-union job.
Not since World War Z did a movie had less to do with its source material. Where King Koopa is now a hypochondriac for some reason.
Germs everywhere.
Toad is a singing hobo.
You know the law, Toad!
Shy Guys are these weirdos in gimp suits. Big Bertha is a nightclub bouncer with rocket boots. Goombas are whatever these things are. And Mario refuses to jump?
How are we gonna get across?
I can make it. I gotta go feel it.
You're not gonna jump?
Just do it! Come on, just have faith! Jump! Just trust! Jump! Come on!
You're not gonna jump? You're Mario, dude. That's literally the only thing you do. You spent your childhood in the Mushroom Kingdom, a game world overflowing with playful, brightly colored environments. Instead of all that, travel to a bleak dystopian hellscape known as Dinohattan, full of random sparks, evil grandmas, Jurassic Park ripoffs, strippers.
That whole disco scene, they hired a whole bunch of strippers.
And tons of fungus.
The fungus is choking the city!
You know all that fungus out there?
This fungus is gonna kill us! Stop fiddling with a fungus and let's get out of here!
Let's get out of here before this fungus stuff eats us alive!
Hey, the fungus just saved us! Trust the fungus!
Trust the fungus!
In a departure from his usual good decisions, watch Bob Hoskins reprise his role as Eddie from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I'll drive! I'm driving! No!
Shut up!
Only this time, his name is Mario. Mario.
Name! Mario. Last name. Mario.
Together with his brother Luigi Mario.
It's Mario Mario and Luigi Mario.
They'll have to save the world from, something about another dimension and a meteor.
Without that piece, the meteorite lays dormant. I'll not be able to merge the dimensions.
With the help of this, thingy.
I want you to meet my father.
Oh, man.
And then this happens.
It's melting. We're merging.
Man, the video game was already surreal enough. How much acid do these filmmakers take? Okay, all of it. All of the acid. So prepare for a movie-going experience so terrible, it made less than half its money back. It scared Nintendo into never making another live-action movie, ended the career of both its directors, and almost killed Bob Hoskins.
I got stabbed four times, electrocuted, broke a finger, nearly got drowned. And that's just what happened to me.
Still less painful than watching the actual movie. Starring John Luigi Zombo, Donald Trump, Yoshi, the creepy parking garage guy from Ferris Bueller, that guy from all those movies, Donkey Kong, and Captain Lou Albano, Super Mario Brother.
Luigi, Mario!
Daisy!
You gotta come with me, I need your help.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.